My name is Martha Huckabee, and I'm born and raised here in New Orleans. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm here through Bucket Brigade. I actually live in St. Rose, Louisiana, and interesting enough, we built that house in 2005, and my family and I moved into it 1 month before Katrina hit, which ended up being a blessing because our other home was destroyed. So this is how this all became, this is how I'm here now. This is why I'm here now. I did not know that I was building a house in a place called Cancer Alley. We had looked in several places as to why, where our new location would be. I am the second vice president of St. Rose Community One Voice, and we've established this nonprofit organization just recently, I guess sometime in August. In June, we had an incident, and I'm going to explain more about that through the slides. I'm also the chaplain, and every time we meet together, we begin in prayer and we end in prayer. And we feel strongly as a community that's how we're going to move this mountain through that, through God. So just sit here.
Yeah, if you do.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to keep doing it.
Anyway, so you can see here on the bottom, your right is St. Rose, and we're right along the river, the mouth of the Mississippi. We're on the crest. St. Rose is a very small community. It's about 6,500 people that live there. It's not very large. Interesting enough, I did not know we were building a house within a quarter of a mile of a plant. I don't know why. I guess I'm so used to seeing these things that it just never dawned on me. It's just part of my life. You know, I see them and I don't think anything of it. Everything is hidden very nicely. So from the outside, going down River Road, IMTT and Shell, which it's IMTT owns the land and is leasing out to Shell. IMTT is a bulk storage facility and they store various chemicals. Now, as I said, you can't really see, how dangerous it really is when you're driving by. Everything looks really nice in St. Rose. St. Rose is a beautiful community. St. Rose has lots of pecan trees and cypress trees, and it's beautiful. It's like living in the country, but you're only 20, 30 minutes from New Orleans. So you're still a city girl. Living in the country. But, you know, as of June, let me keep going. Okay, in early June, we had an incident where there was a toxic smell that was released into the air. I guess we were saying it was June because that was when it was released more than 24 hours. It was about a 36-hour span. Maybe even going into a third day, but it was very, very toxic. I even had a friend there who was watching my children at the time who has been affected by it, and she doesn't even live in the neighborhood, so she's still dealing with some infirmities from that one 24-hour span of her being there. Many of the children in the neighborhood are sick, which I'll explain more about their infirmities as I go along, but I'm here to testify about my own family and speak on my behalf of my family and what's going on with me personally and my children and my husband. The Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality, LDEQ, issued a statement saying that the pollution did not pose a health threat, and this is a blatant lie. It is incorrect. And I'm speaking from personal, it's personally affected my family, so I know that it's not true. My family has been in perfect health. We do not have medical conditions. We do not have anything wrong with us. So we can compare that to this. Going from not being sick for many, many years to now not feeling well and having many symptoms. And when looking back through the education that Bucket Brigade has given to our neighborhood and our family, we can pinpoint exactly our illnesses are related to the hydrogen sulfide that was released on that day. And then also, when I think back on this, That wasn't the first day that this was released. It had been released probably for about 2 years in little burps, like, you know, you would smell it and it would go away in about 15, 20 minutes. And the last 2 years, I had been dealing with a personal tragedy, so I hadn't really been paying much attention to what's going on around me, except for I would always go outside and smell that smell and think to myself, my God, what is that? It's toxic. And everyone in the neighborhood would smell it. You'd smell it in the times between, in the middle of the night. If someone was up in the middle of the night, you would smell it. My neighbor, he smokes, so he goes out in the middle of the night to smoke, and he tells me that he smells it around 2 a.m. Many reports throughout the day. I'm a stay-home mom with my two little ones, and so I smell it throughout the day when I'm outside in the yard playing with them. It's never consistent. You can never pinpoint the times. You can never pinpoint, you know, and if you, you know, by the time you call, it's already disappeared. So here is a health impact on how many people in the vicinity of, you know, IMTT and Shell that have reported health effects. And this is right after the incident. This was only like 2 days after the incident. We now have over almost 400 that have reported on this. So it's continued. It's continued. So immediately after, we've had 116 residents, and this has been a survey. We've had 84% health effects. That's 98 people out of 116 residents. So that's a very high percentage of people that are affected by it. So the charts, the graphs, the phone calls, charting everything was extremely important for us to be able to show them, you can say one thing, but this is the fact. And we you know, by calling in and being a part and just picking up, you know, we were instructed, what we did was, let me back up for a minute. What we did was is we gathered together as a community, and that's how we formed St. Rose Community One Voice. These reports were called in before we established St. Rose Community One Voice. So this was done just with the community itself calling in and complaining. 43% complained of nausea, that's 50 people. 38% experienced headaches, that's 44 people. Now this is just a smaller amount. It's actually grown now that people have been able to pinpoint their infirmity to what's going on. Because sometimes it takes somebody to say, you know, this is my testimony, this is what's going on with me, and then all of a sudden they're saying, that's exactly what's going on with me. And then they start connecting the dots and realizing, wait a minute, that's about when it started, and I feel the same way, you know, and this is just not a coincidence. This is stories, what's really going on with individuals, with families. 34% had respiratory issues. My husband said his heart was racing so fast, he thought he was having a heart attack. He was laying down for a long period of time saying, I really don't feel good. This was just within days of the June incident. 40% had other health impacts. He also had an eye infection that went on for 4 to 5 weeks, and it nearly blinded him in one eye. The doctor was monitoring him every single day because he was about to lose his vision in his right eye completely. And we were very concerned about this. I have a 4-year-old who is continuously sick. I'm in and out of the hospital with him because he has been, you know, like I said, we've been smelling this for a couple of years. Shell leased the property from IMTT, I think back in 2012-13. And so that's right about the time where we started smelling the smell. It wasn't, we bought the land in 03, we built in 04, we moved in 05. I didn't smell this particular smell from 05 to about 2012. It was within the last 2 years. So that means that my 4-year-old has been inhaling those toxins for the last two, you know, from his first beginning of life. And also our 3-year-old. So we have some health issues going on in my house that I know are directly related from hydrogen sulfide. So we're within these percentage of people, and it has grown. Community response. So let me back up for a second. I want to tell you, Shell and IMTT, it's an asphalt. It's Shell leases it to produce some type of asphalt. And IMTT stores chemicals there. You know, let me show you a map too also. So within several days of the community members, we've had about 160 reports of pollution. So we reported it to the eyewitness pollution map. And these are some of the various descriptions of what people had to say when they were reporting it. Yes, I'm in St. Rose. I'm calling about a smell. Everything that's going on. Lots of people are calling for nausea, for diarrhea, dizziness, migraines, blurred vision, inner ear problems, severe vertigo, different things, intestinal, stomach problems, just a lot of different things people were calling in. And all of those things, when you look back and you research it, fall within the results, the health effects of hydrogen sulfide and what's going on. And again, this is one of the images that Katie had showed a little earlier, that as a community we're coming together. Some of the facts about what's going on with the community and with me personally is, again, I have a son who is 4 years old and is continuously sick. 1 week he's vomiting and diarrhea. Another week he's screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, my intestines hurt. I feel like a knife is stabbing me in my stomach." It's really hard as a mother to see your child doing that because you feel, you know, helpless. I've taken him to Children's Hospital. They said that his EKG came back fine, but they said that he had his intestines were backed up. So we put him on something to help him with his intestines. But he went from vomiting and diarrhea for 4 straight weeks. He went from 30-something pounds down to 31 pounds. He lost about 4 pounds within about 4 weeks. And so he's really tiny because of it. Very lethargic, very tired, circles around his little eyes. And he's very active. He's a healthy little boy. It's just, you know, we know it's a result of this. So we had blood tests run on him and everything has come back that he's fine, but his body is going one way 1 week and then another way another week. I'm having severe vertigo. One day I woke up and I felt like the ground was coming from underneath me. I couldn't get up out of the bed. I finally got myself up, got someone to drive me to the ear doctor, and he said that my ear canal had dislodged from my ear and that he doesn't understand how that happened, that a piece broke off and was causing me to flip. Literally, the whole room would do this. So I could barely walk, and they laid me down on a table and did this crazy little exercise with my head, and I thought I was dying. It was horrible, but it was able to make it go back and connect some kind of strange way. But I'm still feeling ear problems from this. This is all since the June incident. You know, my family is, my daughter is having severe allergies, respiratory. She went on for over a month not being able to breathe, coughing for over a month straight. It was really hard on her. There's just different things that we're dealing with, you know, with just my family personally. And so what we're doing as a community is we're pulling together. There were some people that came to my door, and their name is Bucket. They were Bucket Brigade, and I didn't know who they were, but they knocked on my door and gave me a flyer showing me what was released in the air. And it was at that moment that, you know, they told me they were having a meeting for the community at the library. My husband and I took our son and we went, and that's when we began to become informed as to why we were all sick and what was going on. So there was a light bulb moment going on, because we didn't know. We did not relate it to the June incident until we realized what was released and why, you know, that these are side effects that we're all enduring We began to pull together as a community. We met at the library several occasions. It began to grow. We had over 100 people. We had a General Honoré who was here to represent New Orleans and pull us back together after Katrina. He has jumped on board with us along with Bucket Brigade, and everybody has been such a blessing. They have empowered the community as to what we should do and how to come together and be a voice, and how to not be afraid of IMTT and Shell, because they're powerful. You know, that's a lot of money, a lot of power. That's oil. That's Louisiana. And the truth, that's what we do. We speak the truth, and we come out and we speak the truth consistently over and over and over again. We show our family, we share our testimonies, and we move across each neighborhood, and we begin to share with, you know, asking people what's going on with their families, and everybody seems to have some of the same similarities, and light bulbs start going off on every individual one at a time, and that's how this thing has grown and gotten some momentum. One of the things that we came up with is how, you know, what can we do as a community to get our voices heard? You know, we have to do something. So someone came up with the idea of going to the courthouse when the elected councilmen meet together, right? We have a voice, so let's go let them hear our voice and see. We elected these officials. Let's see what they have to say about what's going on, because none of them had shown up to our meetings, none of them. Towards the end, we started getting one showed up, and that is the one who opened the floor for us to come into this council meeting on a Tuesday, although they didn't know we weren't on the docket. So when 50 of us walked in, they were pretty shocked, and they motioned to allow us to speak for a few minutes, and that's when we were aired on TV live. So that shook them. They didn't, you know, it kind of caught them off surprise. And then after we were only given maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but it was enough to let St. Charles Parish know that St. Rose had a voice. Here I am speaking with President Ron Perry from EOC, the gentleman in between, the guy with the hat, the baseball cap. That's General Honoré, and the one to his right is Ron Perry. So he was completely unaware of what was going on, completely. When you spoke to him, he was shocked at the meeting. He didn't know what to say, caught off guard, dumbfounded. But yet, he lives very close to St. Rose, I think maybe in Norco, and is one of a parish for EOC, Environmental, what is it? Emergency Operations Center. So that's where we call when there's an emergency. So they received plenty of calls on that day. We're asking for 24/7 air monitoring as a community. We want it 365 days. And we have the right to breathe clean air, all of us do. And so we're just sitting here letting him know, you know, who we are, and it's his first time meeting all of us, and you know, let's see what we can do from here on and move forward. We want the odors to stop immediately, and we also talked about receiving compensation. A lot of people are putting out their own money for medical bills. So, see me, I'm insured, but I'm just one street in the middle of a bunch of neighborhoods. So where I live, most of the people on my street are insured, but a lot of the people to the left and to the right of me are not insured. So we ask that there would be compensation for people putting out money for their medical. Okay, well we can hold on that for a minute. So as we meet together every month, as the community meets together, it grows. It's about 397 people now. We've actually come together and we've interviewed multiple law firms to see which one would best fit us as a community. One of the people that we initially met with was in Lake Charles. And we had done some research on them, and they had actually done a a lawsuit of this magnitude with another industry issue, and it was very successful. So we looked at them thinking because they were experienced, they might be a good fit for us, but it turns out that they weren't. As we looked a little further, we found a firm in New Orleans that we felt very comfortable with, and that they cared about the community, and they even reduced their legal fees to a very reasonable amount. So you could see what, you know, the way they handled it. But what we realized is that was one aspect of what we were doing. That wasn't going to stop the pollution. The lawsuit was to be compensated for what was going on with the family members in the infirmities. But the lawsuit wasn't going to stop Shell and IMTT from polluting the air. So Bucket Brigade continuously educated us on the fact that we needed to continue to do what we're doing, stay pulled together and continue to move forward. Going with General Honoré and Bucket Brigade to several meetings, we met up with IMTT Shell at their facility, and we discussed some of the things that we wanted and how, you know, we were not going to go back. We wanted 24/7 air monitoring. That's still something that we insist on, and we're not going to back down on that. But they're giving us a very hard time with that. They don't want to give us that, and I find that interesting. They'll monitor the air, which they recently, EPA and LDEQ recently agreed to doing a 2-week air monitoring in our community with these grab samples and this machine called MAML, a truck. And so they came through the community for the last 2 weeks, and they did some grab sampling. So we have yet to see what those results have, but I know the Sunday they were there, there was a huge smell in the air. So if they don't catch that, then there's a problem, because that smell was reported and it was very toxic. We were fortunate enough to be invited through Bucket Brigade, our St. Rose Community One Voice. We went to Washington a couple of weeks ago. We were in Washington, D.C., and there I am with Katie, and that's Gina McCarthy. She's the head of EPA, and that was just a huge blessing. The top is where we meet at Mount Zion Church, and again, we begin with prayer and we end in prayer, so we know that God's doing something for our community. I was able to hand Gina McCarthy 397 reports from the community in her hand and give her a small testimony about what's going on. But, you know, it was just an open door. So we have yet to see what's going to come from that, but we know that that was something really good and wonderful. Let me move along real quickly. The lessons that we learned is that the lack of community notification after the chemical releases, there isn't much notification. When that was released into the air, we weren't notified at all. I wouldn't have known had they not knocked on my door what that was. So, you know, that's how we all came together. Facilities rarely admit off-site impacts. EPA, LDEQ, and facilities said about the accident that it doesn't match up with what our experiences are. There's no matchup. We're saying we're sick, these are the side effects, and they're saying that whatever was released has no health impact. So, what worked for our community? How did it work? Going door to door. Pulling together, everyone coming together as one voice. That's where we came up with St. Rose Community One Voice. Our President Keith, Vice President Erica, I'm second Vice President. We have Secretary Treasurer. We meet up every Monday as a board, and we discuss what we're going to do for the community. And then once a month, the community meets together at the Mount Zion Church, and we let them know where we're at with things. And it is growing because they're seeing that we're supporting them, that we're in the same boat they're in. We have nothing to gain and everything to lose if we don't stand up against this. I don't want to move. We built a nice house. I like St. Rose, and I don't want to be forced to move. See, fortunately for me, if I choose to move, maybe not right at this very second I can, but I probably can move a lot sooner than a lower income housing person next to me can. They don't have the means to move. And this is where they've been living their whole life. This is where their ancestors are from. This is their generation. It's a little different for me. I'm not glued to it, but at the same time, I care a lot about what's going on in my community, and I want this to stop. So that's why we are coming together and speaking the truth, because the truth is power. Thank you again, and my name is Martha Huckabee. Thank you for having me. This boy right here, that's Dawson. That's Dawson, who we've been, you know, working on. So, and there's Jenna from Bucket Brigade. And we've had lots of interviews with the press. We've had over 36 interviews with the press. So it's getting out. General Honoré said, when we're through with them, when this is over with, the world will know St. Rose. And he couldn't have been more right in saying that, because so far we've made it all the way to Washington, D.C. So, and then we've had reporters from Europe come. So the world is going to know St. Rose when we're finished speaking to them. Thank you.